WHYY is proudly supported by Penn Medicine. From groundbreaking discoveries to life-saving care, Penn Medicine's innovation is helping to change lives, one moment, one treatment, one patient at a time.
The music that came to be known as soul took a while to develop, with performers like Ray Charles, Jerry Butler, Curtis Mayfield, and Etta James all making contributions. One of the great mysteries of soul, though, is why it took Aretha Franklin so long to claim the spotlight. Rock historian Ed Ward has this look back at her hitless years.
I hate to say I told you so, though you deserve it, because you know you left me crying for someone new. But all the heartache came back to you. Now you're begging me to take you back. I told you so, I told you so, when you were king.
Aretha Franklin made her first record when she was 14, singing some gospel standards in the church of her father, Reverend C.L. Franklin, an easygoing Detroit pastor who was friends with Martin Luther King and just about every gospel singer you could name. One of the stars who visited a lot was Sam Cooke, who convinced Aretha that she could be a hit singing popular music. And so in 1960, at the age of 18, she dropped out of school and eventually was signed to Columbia Records by its top talent scout, John Hammond. Hammond, who had discovered Count Basie and Billie Holiday, among others, saw her as a potential jazz star and recorded her with a jazz trio led by Ray Bryant. She recorded jazz standards like Rockabye Your Baby with a Dixie Melody, which was a minor pop hit in late 1961. It's likely that she knew she should be doing other kinds of material, and apparently Columbia agreed because they followed it up with this.
Fight bears, and if I get sassy, be a man who dares to shut me up and kiss me so I know he cares. I want a man.
It's hard to know where to start with this. A lot of the elements that were popular in the day's black pop are here, from the up-tempo rhythm to Aretha's soul-tinged delivery. But even in 1962, a song about wanting a rough lover was taboo. This came out at approximately the same time as Phil Spector hurriedly withdrew the Crystals' He Hit Me and It Felt Like a Kiss, after all. Rough Lover actually got to 94 on the pop charts for 1 week before vanishing. Columbia went back to recording albums of jazzier stuff while occasionally trying to cross her over. Part of the problem, though, was the label's insistence on using its own producers and engineers in studios, and apparently nobody at Columbia understood what they had in her. In 1963, for instance, someone named Robert Mersey tried for a hit with this.
Yet she's always by your side. Now just what do you expect me to do? Just ignore it and be satisfied.
Restraint in the arrangement might have saved this, but clearly somebody thought You've Got Her sounded a bit like gospel music. Aretha does her best, but too much goes wrong too soon. By 1964, Columbia was desperate.
Does he love me? I want to know. How can I
once, an inspired choice, a pared-down arrangement, and a spirited vocal from Aretha. But Betty Everett had just had a hit with this song. Her version was every bit as good, and this wasn't a single, but a track on an album that also had Aretha doing songs made famous by Dionne Warwick, Inez Fox, and Barbara Lynn. Something was still trying to break out, though, as this 1965 single shows.
Girl, you better keep your hands on.
By 1966, Columbia had lost $90,000 on Aretha and was offering her a deal she didn't like to re-sign. Across town, the folks at Atlantic Records were paying attention. What if they offered her the opportunity to write her own material, to play her piano with a little more gospel in it, use her sisters for backup vocalists, and record at funkier studios? In January 1967, they went into the studio and began to find out.
Ed Ward is Fresh Air's rock historian.